That's our intro.
Hello everyone and welcome to Bioscope Brasa. This is the show where two brasa talk movie news, review shorts, and some cock in between. My name is Ross.
And I'm Jody.
And welcome to Bioscope Brasa review episode. Yeah. This is the episode where we review a movie
of Balloon.
We're back, and this is our new format, whether you like it or not.
Yeah. But I mean, you can tell us.
You can tell us. So let's get into the review.
Sec, it's time for a review.
This week. Nah, just messing with you.
What?
It's been a while.
This week, we are reviewing The Killer. David Fincher's superstar director, David Fincher's first streaming films of Mank.
Mank
was his first.
So he has a four-picture deal with Netflix.
Netflix, you're right.
This is the second one.
Okay. Second streaming film on Netflix with a, I want to say amazing cast, but not really. Because it's just Fassbender and Tilda Swinton who are like...
The knowns.
Yeah, and then the guy that plays the attorney. In any case... Solitary, cold, methodical, and unencumbered by scruples or regrets, a killer waits in the shadows, watching for his next target. Yet the longer he waits, the more he thinks he's losing his mind, if not his cool.
You know, that synopsis
you know,
isn't
the,
accurate.
The Google synopsis, though, they are either like, okay, decent, yeah. Or they are just like, way off.
Because, I mean,
there's
I was,
no
yeah, I was listening to you now, and I'm like, when did he lose his mind?
There's no element of that. Oh, he's cool for that matter.
Yeah, he's mind all cool.
No spoilers whatsoever.
No. It's so strange. And I'm like, who's that for?
I don't know.
This is based on a graphic novel by some French guys.
Ah, which you said you've read.
I have read, yeah.
Nice.
So we'll get into that.
Charles Parnell is the only other famous person that I know from this. He is Warlock in Top Gun Maverick.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I was thinking of Chris Parnell.
No.
Because I was like, yeah.
Voice actor extraordinaire.
My favorite Chris Parnell is when he calls me, you poop mouth. when he talks to Ron Bogan,
he runs off.
How could you do this, Ron? You poop mouth. You let the poop come out of your mouth. Anyway,
fuck yourself.
Let's get into The Killer. Yeah, the synopsis is trash. So the story is not that.
Not at all.
We join the killer when he's on a hit. It's one of the classic sniper hits.
Yeah,
he's scoping out a place, and you kind of get insight into him as a killer. What he thinks, how he does things, what he talks about, and you do. I mean, it's a lot of voiceover, the monologue, inner monologue.
Lots of inner monologue.
But the comic is like that as well.
I figured that they were basing it off of.
Yeah, I'll get into the differences and what I prefer and whatever, but the inner monologue thing is a big thing of the story. Mm. Stylistically, classic David Fincher. Mm. It's so good looking.
Stunning to look at.
But the muted palette and the green base and all that, like he does that really well, that darkness.
That, but also this film felt brighter to me
than his normal. Definitely. Like, but it's also the character was wearing bright clothes, yes. Right? So that was also a cool contrast because he says in one of his monologues he wants to look like a German tourist.
Yeah.
And nobody wants to talk to a German tourist.
Genius. So you mentioned now The Killer.
Yeah.
A protagonist doesn't have a name.
Yeah.
Which I thought was cool. In fact,
none of them have a name.
Yeah, except for the attorney. He's the only one. Hodges.
Oh, yeah, that's
he's
right.
Controlled. That's the
right.
only person yeah. and Dolores, I guess, the secretary. But no one else has a name.
Which is cool. Mm. You don't need their names. You don't need his name.
No.
He's just the guy. The guy that's there to kill you. And he actually specializes in making things look like natural death or an accident or whatever.
That's, wherever he can.
Yeah, that's his thing. Unless the client wants to send a message, per se. Mm. The Zeet goes wrong, right? Yeah. Classic.
Yeah, but not for him because apparently he's like one of the best.
Yeah, but I mean, never, like, he didn't make a mistake. In this scenario, yes. Because he's getting ready to take the shot, and he just takes the shot at the wrong time and kills a dominatrix instead of the actual target.
Yeah.
Then he has to skit. That scene was really good. The one where he has to escape because he's so methodical. He plans everything. But the leading up to the shot, I mean, we're talking like a solid.
It's solid like amount of 20 time.
20 minutes or something. Because maybe.
It's kind of him establishing his character, right?
Yeah.
This is his ethos. This is what he believes in. He's got this mantra that he keeps repeating the whole time of like,
Stick
to the plan. Never make it personal.
That, what is that line?
Anticipate, not, don't react, anticipate.
Yeah, yeah.
He keeps repeating this, right? And he starts off by saying, this is really boring work.
Like, yeah, it is.
People think it's exciting. To be good at this, you actually have to be like incredibly patient and able to be dull.
Which is true.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to blend into the background. You have to be super methodical in your getaway, your planning, your getaway, all that. And you see that one eventually once he misses the shot and he has to leave the building, all that stuff. He leaves zero trace.
Yeah.
He's got this... germ killer gutter, whatever. He sprays alles, anything. He brushes his teeth, he sprays the sink. He drinks water, he's got his personal cup. He's always got those killer gloves on, spraying everything, wrapping things up, chucking things away. Like, and that scooter scene was really cool because you see like he only relaxes once he knows he's kind of safe.
But even then he still has the paranoia going on.
Yeah.
But what they also show us is that as much as he is all of these things, he can make mistakes and he can get flustered. So he has the, like, he doesn't get his shot off. Then with the scooter escape, the lock doesn't immediately, like, loosen up. And so it's like all these things he's prepared for doesn't quite work.
No.
Also the way he wants it.
Yeah. So it's cool. I mean, that's life, right? Mm. So no matter how much you plan, it can still go wrong. And then he starts to find out exactly what happened. He has this, what? Country is in Puerto Rico.
Dominican Republic.
So he has his safe house, I would say, the way he lives. And he gets home and he realizes, that there's a woman that lives with him and she's been attacked because they came for him.
Yeah.
And they injured her like very badly. So he's like, why did they come for me? Mm. I need to find out this nonsense.
Yeah.
And he goes on his revenge trip.
Yeah,
that's basically it.
But it's the most methodical, cold, detached revenge trip you've ever seen in your life. I think that's the conceit of this film, is that it's not this, like John Wick is like revenge filled with emotion.
And action.
This is divorced from emotion completely.
Yeah.
Like yes, he kind of, he's pissed that they came after her and that they came after him.
Yeah.
But then immediately he starts going into his mantra again.
Yeah.
The
scene at the hospital as well where he, I think it's a brother or someone.
Mm.
And he tells the brother, like, that was quite cool because he looks at him, like, intensely and says, I will make sure that nothing like this ever happens again.
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, he's going to...
You believe him.
Yeah, he's going to do some shit. And then he goes on his revenge trip. I mean, that's basically the story. And he's got three major targets after he visits the lawyer.
Yeah. He loves out the mantra. Eh? So there's times where you, like, you think maybe he's going to show some compassion or empathy or whatever. They just know.
He doesn't.
Just know.
There's like a glint, man. And I think it's so well directed because that there's always that, he's going to let her go. Nope.
No.
He does not do that.
Not once.
Yeah, not once. So we can't even really call him a protagonist, I think. But we definitely rooting for him, I found myself.
Anti-hero vibes, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, it was an injustice and he's correcting it.
Mm.
Because there is a level of emotional connection that he has.
To
what happened, right?
Was, yeah.
And he has to deal with that. So I get it. In general, though, I feel... No, I'll talk about that in spoilers. I'll do the comparison of the book in spoilers. But there's not much more I can say in terms of story.
I think what we can talk about is, what do you categorize this as?
It's like a noir thriller vibe.
Noir is a good description.
Yeah.
Because,
I mean, classic noir is the inner monologue. Yeah?
But people might think like it's an action film.
The bombshell walked into the room.
Yeah.
Smelling of whiskey and sex.
And bad decisions.
So it's like, it's not an action film.
Like Alma Leonard vibe. You know Alma Leonard's films?
No.
Tarantino loves his stuff.
Okay.
Sorry, I've needed to cough for a while and blow my nose.
Oh, the hanky's out. Whoa, that was a good one.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Nice. And the hanky goes into put that snot back in your pocket.
Save it for later.
This is not a good thing. Anyway.
So Alma Leonard does like noir, that's his vibe, right? Mm. And you get a lot of that here. But if you're coming into this expecting action movie, you're going to be disappointed.
Because you will be disappointed up until a certain scene.
Yes.
And then you'll be like, whoa.
A lot.
And then you'll think, should David Fincher direct the next John Wick?
But it's also, like you'd say it's a character study, but the character is boring, deliberately boring, because that is what he has to be for his job.
Yeah.
Which to me is like a...
I will get into that, into spoilers, but that is one of the disconnects for me.
Okay.
From the book.
Because I think that's where people might struggle with the film, because Jenna was like, when the movie finished, I don't know how I feel about this movie.
No, but I think he's supposed to be... I mean, that's what he intended, right?
Yes.
Essentially, his title, his name is The Killer. Mm. And that's what he does.
He kills.
And Fassbender, always great.
Yeah.
I mean...
Outstanding.
So good. He's jacked as well, but in a slim way, which is ideal. Because he's like... He hides it with those German tourist clothes. Yeah. But then you see him do like a yoga vibe and you're like, yo, this...
Supple.
He can hurt you.
He's supple.
Supple.
Tilda Swinton, great also.
Yeah, but she's always good.
I'd say Charles Barnell with the... Because he's essentially like the handler.
Yes, he handles the contracts and stuff. Disguised as a law firm. Mm. Deborah works with him.
Yeah.
Dolores,
shame.
I felt for Dolores. Dolores handcuffed, trying to my slicking pills there to try and calm down.
But then again, like another example of how things can go wrong, which we'll talk about in spoilers.
Yeah.
But...
Performances overall. I mean, direction. You're talking Fincher, but he ain't no joke.
Direction, cinematography.
Oh, yeah. Like, and it just makes me more upset that they cancelled Mindhunters.
Yeah.
Obviously, they made a new deal with the films. Mm. But, yo, give a third season. Give a final season, man.
Just no.
Yes, that show was so good. So Fincher's really good at that. He's really, I mean, this noir thing, I mean, we saw glimpses of it in Fight Club.
Yeah, Seven.
Seven, exactly. Well. So we know what he's capable of.
And something that I saw someone posted a thing saying, Fincher's movies can sometimes feel like they're meandering along, but it's so beautiful that you can't help but like.
Yeah, there's a good YouTube video, I think it's Nerdwriter, where he just points out like how Fincher forces your eye to look in certain places.
Yeah.
The way he moves the camera, the way the level at which he keeps it with the character as they move, things like that. Like he really gets into the technical. And before, it's something you can't describe as a viewer initially until you understand like the technical things behind it. But you don't even need to understand it.
No, you can just feel
enjoy
it.
Yeah. So he's very, very good at that. And you see it in this film as well. Up until that action scene, that fight scene blew me away. I was like, why doesn't he do more of this?
You get that feeling, but also like they saved that for like the big fight scene. But sorry, before you go on.
Yes.
Don't you think it's amazing that Fincher is still directing films after his debut film?
Yes.
You don't know.
Yeah.
His first movie was Aliens 3.
No, but that again wasn't his fault.
Not his fault. He was like parachuted.
I mean, he talks about it with venom in his mouth.
Yeah,
it was not a good experience for him.
It was a dumpster fire of a script of a
production.
He got flown in as a first time director.
Yeah,
and he just had to like deal, and he did try and get his name off of it at some point.
No, he did.
Right?
He did.
Like,
yeah, he said he doesn't want to be attached to it.
Yeah. So to go from
looking
that
back,
and,
yeah,
like, you know, still get, and then you get Seven, and you get
Gone Girl,
Social Network, all of the stuff still after that beginning.
It's he's really has one of the best filmographies ever. He's one of my favorites, and again, I didn't see Mank.
Mm.
You watched it.
Yeah, I think you should.
Okay.
It's a different vibe completely than any of this.
I do like color though. But I'll watch it. And he's so good at color.
He is, but man, you won't feel it.
Okay.
Really. Look, his direction in this, To be honest, I didn't watch any trailer. I watched this purely because it's a Fincher film.
No, the trailer was actually good, eh?
I didn't see any trailers before I went.
Because it didn't give away much, and I really liked the tone of it. Mm. And the pacing. The pacing, I would say, was a little deceiving of the trailer versus the film. But
again, the trailer up the...
Yeah. It ups the ante a little, so it makes it look a little more action-heavy. But again,
this is a language piece.
It's marketing, yeah. Yeah, but it keeps you there. I didn't feel bored at any time.
Mm.
And then The Smiths, which is always good.
Mm.
You're listening to The Smiths.
I didn't know what I expected when he started, when he put it in, but I don't think it was that.
I saw another comment from someone who's like, yeah, if you listen to The Smiths all the time, you'll probably be a psycho.
Fair.
Quiet or night for you, Jody?
It's a quiet. It's not gonna be everyone's cup of tea. But for me, the technical appreciation, acting, that amazing fight scene. And I'd say the ending as well. Before we go into spoilers, I'd say it makes it a quiet for me.
Okay, good.
How do you feel?
I'm gonna say quiet.
Mm.
The problem is if you've read the source material. Mm. That comparison.
Mm.
If I didn't read the source material, this would be a hard cry for me. I enjoyed the technical aspect of it, the performance. It was gritty and dope. That fight scene, the inner monologues, the cold, calculated vibes.
Yeah.
Dope.
But you have something to compare.
Yes, exactly.
That's with that spoiler thing, and then you vice us because now I want to know.
Yeah, he kills everyone he's supposed to kill.
Except for the person who actually...
Yes, except for the billionaire.
Yeah.
He goes all the way to the top and the guy's like, I didn't know.
Yeah, and then he's like, don't do it again.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, okay. But I think it was the fact that, I mean, he was such a high-profile guy.
Mm.
And, I mean, he scared the living dawn out of him.
Yeah. And the fact that he could get there.
Yeah,
just get
exactly. Through. And I love that, the way they showed his build up into Amazon, getting bruh. Into that. Yeah,
Jeff Bezos.
Yeah, Amazon. Also, the joke with the bun, when he's got the body in the bun, and the guy's like, you need some help with that body? Like, and that lady's like, like laugh crying.
Jenna busted some of that scene.
Funny. But yeah, he kills the two people that came to the house that attacked the woman. He kills them. The one was a brute, muscle guy.
The brute.
Yeah, the brute. And he lived in Florida.
Mm.
And he takes him out. That's the fight scene that I'm talking about. It is so visceral and brutal.
That guy's arms are so long.
Yeah.
And he swings with so much force.
Yeah, and he gets a table leg up his nut. And still... And he still goes after that. And it's like dripping blood.
Yeah, he just pulls that leg out. And
it was so good. I mean...
That fight scene is not something I would have thought Fincher could
do. No, exactly that.
I've never seen anything like that in any of his movies.
No.
And it's not something I associate with him. But goddamn, that is one of the best fight scenes that have come out this year.
Yeah, 100%.
And it's the only fight scene in this movie. But
It's hectic. They trashed at those house.
Yeah. Same.
And I'm so glad he didn't kill the dog.
The vibe I got is I never felt like he was going to kill the
dog.
Like even when he, perhaps he could then have
I would have a problem.
Yeah, then that movie would have gone to a knife or both.
Irredeemable.
Yo, and that was heartbreaking, when that dog comes in afterwards. Because this guy is like a pit bull.
Yeah.
Staffy pit
bull. I think it's a pit bull,
And the dog is doing security all around the house, and he now puts the dog to sleep with NyQuil in mints and whatever. Yeah. And then when the dog wakes up, the dog only wakes up when the owner's been killed. And the dog goes to check first on the owner and then realizes, this bruh's dead. Next thing, go after the bruh.
It was hectic. And then he sets the house on fire, and I just hope that dog didn't run back into the house.
I was like, don't go back.
Yeah.
But also, that was a conveniently good Molotov cocktail thrown away.
As practiced that so many times. It was so expertly through the window.
He lit that thing and I'm like, yeah, that bottle's gonna bomb in.
Yeah, and he just hoys it straight into the lounge. Perfect.
What do they call that in Douglas's
a basketball? Lobbing.
A lob.
Oh, basketball. A layup.
Layup.
Yeah. Just boom.
Who was it? Wilt Chamberlain that had
yeah, like Wilt Chamberlain is the. No, it wasn't a layup. They called that the sky hook.
Whatever.
I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway. What's a hook?
A hook. Mm. A hooker, yeah.
Perfectly into that
center
lounge.
Center of the lounge.
Center middle. Everything got put up.
But yeah, cool. So the comparison for me with the comic is, first of all, I missed the glasses. In the comic book, he's got these round glasses on all the time.
I can see.
Yeah, and the way he shows emotion is through like how they sort of draw him in the glasses. Sometimes you can see his eyes. Sometimes especially when he's on the prowl and stuff, you like can't see his eyes. It's like whitened out. So that is used like very cleverly. And I really thought he was going to wear round glasses in the film, and he doesn't.
He did a lot of sunglasses, but not.
It's not round. Anyway, small
and
gripe.
And it would have suited his face.
Yeah.
No, for Fassbender.
Stupid gripe. That was one. Mm. The other thing is, in the comic, he has those rules and he says those things in his head.
Mm.
But he constantly veers from...
But that... I was laughing because I told Jen at a point, I wouldn't listen to any of those brass rules because, first of all, the very first kill we see him do, he misses.
Yeah.
Then with the attorney, when he's like, this guy's got about 7 minutes to live, that brass freaks right away.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, none of those brass rules are no, judgment.
The thing is, in the comic, he'll say like, oh, don't get involved, stay calculated, and then he'll do the total opposite thing. There's a lot of that, and he indulges in things. You obviously get more backstory with the woman that lives there, and he's kind of like a sociopath, and he doesn't know that he has feelings for her. He doesn't realize he has feelings for her until she kind of gets hurt and then he wants to, you know what I mean? So she's just there as an accessory type thing in the beginning because that's where his safe space is and he chills. And he indulges in like drinking and smoking. He smokes constantly.
None of that.
Yeah, he smokes constantly. He has a drink. And then the side characters in the book are so interesting, and we got to see none of that.
Yeah, I mean, he's like people really just get killed
exactly, and he's a real loner in this one. Whereas he has no choice but to interact with these people because in the book it's the same scenario. He messes up the hit, but he doesn't have his money. The handler has his money.
Oh yeah,
and then he wants to get his money, and the handler is like, no, whatever. And he dives in, and then he finds out that they put the hit on him. But then he finds the guys who hired him, and they say, you have to make this right. You have to do another job for us and stuff. And he befriends the guy who hires him and whatever. And he's like this Latin American dude. Like, there's a big story weaving. And I think they just, for me, if you compare it there, they concentrated it a little too much for me. I think
on
the,
him.
Yeah. And they made the world very, very small.
Yeah.
Where the world is way bigger in the comic book. And you only have so much time to tell your story.
True. But, and I mean, I'd say they kept it tight at 2 hours. But, you know, it's a two-hour movie. The pace feels okay, but can also feel sometimes like a bitchy just going along with his thoughts.
But the main thing is that the comic book character is more complex. And a bit more human.
And he has been simplified. Like, he's just distilled to this mantra.
Like, the comic book character might not have killed Dolores.
Yeah.
And
which I actually felt as though I would have appreciated that at some point. That he, because he keeps, like, not succeeding with the mantra, I'm like, maybe he veers away from it and, like, Dolores gets to live. Or Leo, the taxi driver, who in essence did nothing
wrong,
like Dolores, you could argue, is involved in that life.
Yeah.
But Leo did nothing. Like, he just drove the people who needed to be driven.
But then he suckered him.
Yeah.
So, that's my main issue. But as a film on its own, it's really good. I did enjoy it. Not for everyone in terms of action. Or you could just watch that scene. I'm sure it's on YouTube.
Yeah. No, go and watch that fight scene. Even the scene with Tilda Swinton. I really enjoyed the
reveal.
Yeah. The way that she figures out what's going on. kind but, of
as oh, that's another thing that thing I love is that he doesn't say anything when he encounters people. She just no, but talks. All of them, each of, except for the guy, he just starts mooting.
Yeah,
but they all just talk and they reveal of things about themselves, and he just stands.
He just stands. She's like, "Do you want a drink?" And he just like looks at her. She's like, "I think it's poisoned," and it's like this whole thing of. Almost like good call, like when you're being interviewed by the police and they just keep quiet and you stole the
beat. Everybody did that with everyone and it worked so well. So her faking a fall and he, can you give me a hand? And he's just like, bah! And then you can see she had a knife in her hand. So like, cold calculated as he should. I think Fassbender was perfectly cast.
Because he seems to tap into his Prometheus character in this for me. Yeah, Charlie should have just gone.
No, do you like it though?
No, I don't like Prometheus
at all. No,
no.
It was a bad move. No,
Uncle should stay away from his series. Did you see that Ridley Scott was talking about when James Cameron was announced as the director for Aliens, and he said he was so pissed because they didn't ask him to come back, and he had just come off a flop. And he was like, I want to go back to the franchise that was like, that I started.
Yeah.
And they told him no.
Yeah,
they didn't give him any choice.
Yeah.
But Cameron, and they go with Cameron, and Cameron just goes.
Cameron nails it. But Cameron was the sequel king at that point.
No, but then he also says like, James and I aren't friends. We talk. He's such a spiteful old man.
Yeah, he is. Are you excited for Napoleon?
The early reviews are weird because they say it's more comedic than what
it's. Yeah, not. Apparently it's kind of funny.
I don't know.
Yo, I was like, this is weird. I mean, I wasn't interested in it at all.
Yeah.
But then the reviews came out and I was like, comedy?
Weirdly comedic.
And you know we like laughing at weird situations. And
maybe imagine he just took Bo.
Bo, yeah. Napoleon was actually like an agoraphobe. No, but
we digress.
I know we did. But a solid entry into Fincher's filmography.
And I like the intro that he did because he made it feel like a series almost.
Yeah. He's not big on sequels, eh?
Not really.
After Aliens 3, he was never again.
Bad first experience.
But this seems like there could be a possible sequel.
Mm. Well, maybe he's working on Meta.
Oh, speaking of that, did you see that they're going to make an Elon Musk movie, or they're planning to?
Oh, I heard.
Why? Based on the book.
Oh, do they start in South Africa with him in Pretoria being bullied?
His Emerald Mine father.
Being bullied, having to leave.
By the K-words. A lot of that happening, probably. But yeah, I enjoyed this one, Jody.
Yeah, as I go into it, but temper your expectations.
Temper your chocolate.
Temper it.
We posed the question, what is the movie that always makes you chunk? We're going to run through a couple of these.
And give our own.
Yeah. So, The Notebook by Devonne.
Devon.
Oh. The E is silent.
Let's French.
So, Devon said The Notebook, classic.
Classic, but I don't really.
I don't chunk for that one, I think.
I wonder, I'll ask Devon if it's when they're old.
Yeah, probably.
No?
I mean, the letters, right?
Either that or still of you.
Or
the rain scene.
When they actually read the notebook. That's a scene, right?
The whole movie is them reading the notebook.
Oh. When you find out that she's demential.
And they've done this before. She's demented.
Every day.
She's demental.
She also said when they see us, but I think that's a different kind of crying. That's more crying at injustice.
Oh, I've never seen that.
That's about the Central Park Five.
Oh, yeah, that is.
That's a bit rough, Then Kerry Lee Alapin. That's not a real name, is it?
I'm pretty certain it is.
The Normal Heart. Have you ever seen that?
No.
What is that?
No idea. Let's give it a googs.
It's probably got something to do with cancer.
Or heart problems. Movie about Chris Barnard's life.
In the early 1980s, the onset of HIV/AIDS crisis in New York led to an emergence of homosexual activists With support from the medical community, they tried to raise awareness about the disease. Oh, that must be interesting. Mark Ruffalo as well.
Sounds like Philadelphia.
Jim Parsons.
Oh, I do remember he played a gay activist in one of his films.
Yeah, but I think he is a gay activist.
In real life.
Mm. Mm. So I haven't seen that one, Kerry Lee Elepin.
She's going to be disappointed in us.
I'm so sorry. Who's got the time?
We should.
And Nicole Lavandia, she said La Bamba. That's a throwback, eh?
That is a throwback of
Lou Diamond Phillips, back in the day.
Perfect casting.
Perfect casting. Perfect he was casting. So good. His only other good role was in The Big Hit.
Yeah. Also perfect casting. Oh, but action star of note. But yeah, I can.
Yeah, La Bamba was great. Mm. I won't even hold up. Well, I mean, so. According to her.
Because that was what, like mid to early 90s? Right? Yeah. That came out.
Yo, we old.
Have you seen my head? 1987. Yo.
And then David John Mouton.
Just look at him, my bro.
Yo. Just look at that quiff, my bro. Yo. Look at that quiff, bruh. La 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 bamba. Classic. Mm. David John Mouton. Mm-hmm. He says Marley and Me. But I mean, that's...
Yeah, dog.
You're just asking for trouble.
Yeah. Although...
But I mean, that dog was Dear Macado, no?
That's a bastard of a dog. Yes. That dog just caused problems.
Yeah, my bro.
Whole movie.
Anyway. Okay, for you, Jody, what movie always makes you chunk?
It's a fairly new one. After Sun.
Ooh.
That disco scene in After Sun breaks me, my bro.
Yeah, that's real funny.
I can watch that on YouTube and so on. Like if I'm emotionally welled up,
yeah,
I'll go put that scene on YouTube and nice. Just like,
bam. We need a good chunk. Actually, like from last year, like every single time I've watched Everything Everywhere
All at Once. Oh yeah,
it's made me.
Yo, bro, that speech of Wayman when he talks about I would choose you in
another life. I would love to do laundry and taxes with you.
Oh yeah.
Gee whiz, that hits me in the feels. Mm. Armageddon.
Oh yeah.
Armageddon is a...
I cried in the cinema.
Me too.
When I watched that movie.
I know. My friend was next to me. He was making fun of me.
Yeah. Because boys don't cry.
Yeah. The moment he decides to now do it himself, Ben Affleck is like, no, what are you doing? I love you. Yeah. I love you. Yeah. And then he phones his daughter. Mm. I was like, God damn, man. Bruce Willis.
And
it goes
right into the wedding when they land. Ugh. And his picture is there on the chair.
Nah, bruh. R.I.P. Bruce Willis. I mean, his career.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Really sick.
And then another one also is, I haven't seen it in a long time. The beginning of Up did make me cry.
Yo, that does hold up. Yeah. I can tell you now. Drayden loves the balloon movie.
Oh, really? So,
and that whole intro was so much longer than what I remember.
Wait, he calls it the balloon movie.
Yeah.
Nice.
Up, Up and Away also. But that whole intro is... Do you know what else? The one with the feelings, Inside Out.
Yes.
When the
imaginary friend dies. Bro. He doesn't die. He sacrifices himself
so that he can make it out.
I wonder if we're going to see him in 2.
I haven't watched that trailer yet, but...
It's actually quite funny. Mm. But again, Pixar hasn't been on the best run.
No.
And also Disney's Wish is getting like not great reviews.
Not great reviews at all.
But Lion King, when Mufasa dies, also classic chunk of vibes.
Do you know what made me cry?
What?
Free God as a light.
What? When...
In Bloodsport, when Jean-Claude Van Damme brother got killed by Tom Powell. I wasn't ready to process that.
It was sad. Bro.
Was it Kickboxer?
Yeah.
It was Kickboxer where the brother gets killed by Tom Powell.
But don't be ashamed of that.
It's an action movie, Ross.
No.
And they kill the
real
brother.
Heroes have heart.
I remember... I remember watching that with my cousins and not being able to understand why I'm crying. Like, but why is he dead?
I've also, like, I mean, the movie itself is not that good in my opinion, but Pursuit of Happiness, when he's in the train, the train station, and also when he finds out that he got the job, those are two scenes that knock me.
Yeah.
And then the one that is upset cry is a documentary. You can find it on YouTube. It's called Dear Zachary, I can't say anything about the plot because if you do find yourself watching it at like 2 o'clock in the morning, which is what I did.
Yeah. Just beware.
Come on, oh my God. I will never watch that movie again. No, really. It is infuriating. It is sad. It is all the bad things, but also hopeful in the end. It's one of the roller coasters.
Bro. I felt like that about 7 Pounds when I watched it. Because it's not actually that good of a film.
It's not.
But I feel like it's such cheap heartbreak also, man.
It is cheap heartbreak.
And the...
The jellyfish.
When he gets in that tub, then I was like, I'm feeling emotionally distorted.
Yeah.
And then you see him killing everyone. And like, this is why he's doing this stuff.
Yeah. Why is Will Smith in
so we know why. We know why.
You can't blame Jada for everything.
I will.
But he's in so many movies that are kind of okay. And then,
did you see that thing where Jada's like, Willow and Jada are actually Tupac's spirit?
Yo, she really wish she married Tupac. Eh?
I've got so much stuff currently on my TikTok popping up about... This is why this timeline doesn't make sense of Jada's like Tupac
love. Do you regret naming your child Jaden?
It wasn't named after Jaden Smith.
No, I know, but do you still like...
No, because I don't associate him with Jaden Smith at all.
He's the most famous Jaden.
He's really not.
He is. Who's the other
don't
famous
Jaden? No, my Jaden will be famous. More famous. Famous Jaden.
That's right. Up, up and away for Jaden.
Up and away.
Are you googling the famous
Jaden? Fuck, he's the most famous.
And on that note, if someone wanted to find out who the most famous Jaden was and listen to us do so, how would they do that, Jody?
You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube, Bicycle Brasser Podcast, and you can write to us, bicyclebrasser@gmail.com.
Salute. Everyone stay safe and enjoy those movies that make you chunk. Remember, be good for Knox
and Charlie.